Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the Master Builder, helping you build stronger and better lives. And we want to welcome you to hashtag My Investing Story. And we are volunteers with an awesome organization called Better Investing. And Better Investing was established in 1951 as a 501c3, which is a not-for-profit organization that has helped over 5 million people learn how to invest profitably in stocks of high-quality, high-growth companies. We support investment clubs and individuals through our education, online stock selection, and the analysis tools and publications. And you can go to betterinvesting.org to learn more. But today, we are here to learn more about Christine McCarron's investing story. And I have known Chris for a little while, and I am just very honored, really, to be a friend of Chris. Chris, I hope I'm one of your friends. And to just tell you a little about Chris, I'm going to have her share her story. But as a part of her bio, from a very early age, Chris had a passion for real estate. In addition to being a residential real estate agent and a member of the elite team of RE/MAX luxury sales agents, Chris has done flips. She used the BRRR strategy, done house hacking, landlording, Airbnb, and it goes on and on. She's going to also talk about her recent book, Empower Your Inner Millionaire, A Woman's Guide to Financial Independence Through Real Estate Investing. And I would like to introduce to some of you one of my dear friends, Chris, I'm calling you a dear friend, that has helped many of us take our investment education to an entirely different level as it relates to better investing and the formation of an investment club. And so with that, please welcome my friend, Christine McCarron. How are you, Chris?
And I'm excellent, and I'm even more excited now because you call me a dear, dear friend, and I just have to tell you how honored I am because I consider you a dear, dear friend, even though we're not lucky enough to live in the same, you know, zip code here or even the same climate, but, but I do. I cherish,
not the same climate.
You know, no, that, luckily for you. Yes, I'm really. Thank you very much for doing this podcast because your premise is absolutely right that so many people have this mysterious idea about investing and, you know, what's it all about, and you have to be, you know, born into royalty to be able to even understand the secrets of the stock market. And, you know, since I've met you and Better Investing, I've learned that there is a little bit of a secret, but it's very easy to unlock the code.
But Chris, take us back to your first memories of money, excuse me, and investing. Share with us your story and how did you get here? Where did drive come from? You know, many of us have memories of our parents or friends or relatives and their views about money. Take us back there and bring us up.
Okay. You know, it's funny. I listened to Ione last week talking about how at 10 years old she knew that she didn't want to work for her whole life, and she just got really serious about saving her money and stuff. And I thought, you know, I'm the anti-Ione. I was just, my relationship with money was not that great for a very long time. And I think it might partly be because, you know, it's always easy and fun to blame your parents, but I don't think it's like their fault, quote unquote, but my dad was a bricklayer, and so he worked seasonally. And so we had this, you know, the big sum of money came in the summer, but you never could spend it because you never knew when he was going to get laid off. You never knew basically where your next check was coming from. And I think that's probably why, like a lot of folks who are, you know, are living a sort of lower middle class life, you act like you know, money is not a great thing to have. You know, we
I'm not sure, Chris. We can't hear you. So if you're speaking, you might be on mute, Chris. Okay, well, while we're waiting for Chris, unfortunately, she just dropped off. She's going to have to call back in. But I just want to encourage all of you as listeners to consider the fact that you have an investing story. Whether you think about it or not, or whether you agree or not, every single one of us has an investing story. And the purpose of this show is to show and share with everybody at every level and encourage you to learn how and why to invest. And so we just got Chris back. Chris, hi. Just dropped off. So
sorry.
You can go ahead and continue to share. No, that's no problem. Listen, done is better than perfect, and things happen. So we're just glad to have you back. Now, you were sharing about your dad and how you began to form your first thoughts around money with his job.
Yeah, you know, I think it's the other thing that happened to my dad was that he at one point had tried to go into business for himself. You know, for most of his life, he was a union guy, or he just did sort of, you know, little pickup jobs. But at one point, he decided to actually start a business, and you know, he got really successful really quickly and was hiring people who didn't have necessarily the same work ethic that he had or didn't have the same skill set, and so he ended up, you know, not succeeding. And I think that was another whole lesson that you subconsciously learn, that don't take too many risks, you know, just keep kind of plodding along and working for other people, and it's more safe and whatever. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'm unique in that growing up with an idea that it was not a great thing to have lots of money, and that people who had lots of money were in some mysterious sort of group that we weren't allowed access to. It's like a members only kind of club.
So how did you go from that mindset to where you are today, being very actively involved in real estate and then focusing on your financial future in terms of investing?
I think once I started working, I very quickly, you know, joined the Ioni Club, that I didn't really like it. It's not like I'm afraid of hard work, but this idea of just like getting there at a certain time and doing, I feel like I must be, have in some way like an entrepreneurial gene or something, because I like to have a more free flowing kind of day. I like to have a lot more variety, and I like to make my own schedule and my own work and stuff like that. So always was fascinated with real estate investing. So I did manage to, after some big mistakes, I did manage to unlock that code. But that's a little bit easier for me because it's tangible. But even still, it was, you know, what, probably 15 years ago when I figured out that the real estate market had cycles. So still, you know, I wasn't like an immediate hit with that either. But, and that's something that I want to say, because I think that this happens sometimes to people who, you know, we all think abstractly that we want money, but and that we want to, you know, be comfortable and be able to afford whatever it is that we want to do, and I like to travel and stuff. But when we don't have a good relationship with money, we seem to allow it to disappear. We seem to allow it to just kind of not stick with us. And that's what I did for a long time. And the way I did it was by not taking the time to properly research what I was doing. So, you know, I would buy stocks. I had this alphabet portfolio. I bought all the, you know, tried to buy the stocks that I could afford that had one letter in their name, because I thought, oh, you know, that'll be a good portfolio. Those must be the older companies, and they'll probably be great companies, whatever. I mean, I didn't know what half of the letters even stood for, you know, and I didn't know. It wasn't until I got involved with you and with Better Investing that I understood that there's two separate aspects. Like there's yes, this is may or may not be a good company, but even if it is a great company to own, is this a good time to buy that stock? Like, oh, okay wait a minute.
Yeah, let's bring the audience and the listeners up. This program, people will be listening to this long, long after we're gone. And what I'd like to have you do is now help us understand how did you go from the real estate investing, how and when did you have a desire then to begin to consider investing in stocks? And the reason I'm asking that particular question, and I want to encourage our listeners to think about their own journey, because Better Investing, what we're not, I talked about the organization a few minutes ago, and I'll share with you what we're not. You know, we're not day traders. You know, we're not professional investment advisors or stockbrokers or bond traders. We don't deal in penny stocks. We don't teach buying on margin or using borrowed money. All of those things is what we're not. What we are volunteers to help teach investment education. And so, Chris, what I'd like to have you do is to bring us up now to where did the shift come for you? Because if a lot of people are going to be listening to that, and we really want them to relate to the story and understandable for them, no matter what state they're in, no pun intended, you know, state of mind or financial condition, especially during these wonderful, I call it these wonderful times to learn how to analyze stocks and how to invest. So how did you get to Better Investing?
Well, I mean, it's very simple because you brought me there. I mean, I went to a conference. Seriously, I went to this conference and I had decided, you know, because I had some money like in a 401k, I had an IRA, I had a SEP IRA for my business. And I, you know, just as like a tax deduction, whatever. And it was just, the money was just sort of sitting, and it was in ETFs, which is fine. You know, it's like a basket of different funds and stuff. But I thought to myself, you know, it's about time. At this point, I mean, I'm at that point when I'm having this conversation with myself, I'm like 53 years old. And I think, oh, maybe it's time I learned about stocks before I get to be 70, you know. And so I went to this conference and thinking to myself, I really want to learn more about stock investing. And I happened to sit next to you while you were on the phone with your, not realizing that you were on the phone with your investment club. And you turned to me, a virtual stranger, and said, do you want to be in an investment club? And I thought, oh my God, how did you know? And I said, yes. And so prior to that, I had never heard of Better Investing. I mean, I feel that it is kind of a well-kept secret.
Well, I have to give the share with the audience a backstory and what Chris is sharing. And again, I remind all of us, we all have an investing story. And what Chris is really sharing is that she had a desire. She had a desire to learn. And I really think, Chris, that really is a starting point of all achievement, is to have a desire. Not to be so concerned, and this is for all of us, how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, with whom will it happen? But the universe has a way of speaking and talking to all of us. But oftentimes we don't listen to that hunch, that nudge, that urge. And what Chris is sharing, we were actually at the National Speakers Association annual conference, and it was maybe about 3 years ago, Chris, I guess, in Orlando at Disney. And most time you go to Disney for a conference, you walk around at night. And what Chris is sharing, how she and I met, I was talking to a group on the phone, like she said, and we were in the process of starting an investment club. And the goal was to get to 50 people, understanding that we really wanted about 20, but we didn't know who the 20 would be. And so as I was on the club, Chris came and she sat right next to me in this auditorium she and I are the only people sitting down, so, you know, it was empty. And where we were sitting, and I turned to her and I said, would you like to be in our club? And what happened next, Chris?
Well, after a period of time of, you know, us getting the bugs out and making all of our, you know, decisions about how we were going to put the club together and stuff like that, I ended up being voluntold to be the president of the club. Person who the week before didn't know anything about investing. So there's hope for everyone.
I really think this, I really think that this is really the beauty of better investing. And for those of you that are joining, we want to thank you. We're talking with Chris McCarron. And Chris it actually is the outgoing president of the National Association of Black Women in Construction Investment Club. It's called Maverick Invest. She's also a real estate investor. And I'd like to have you, Chris, if you can share with us, and I want to also remind our callers, if you have any questions, if you'd like to participate in the conversation, which we do have a question. So we're going to take this question, Chris, and we're going to come back and talk about your book. And so, caller, your last four digits of your number is 4967. Did you have a question or comment?
Hi, Chris. This is Ione. I had a quick question. As you were talking, you started to say something in regard to how you got started investing with buying just stocks with single letters, and then you started to get into understanding value, understanding that even if it's the right company, it may be the wrong time. Do you remember that train of thought? If so, can you continue along that? Because I was really interested to hear some of the beginning things of what you started to learn.
Sure. Yeah, prior to my introduction to Anne and to better investing, my whole I guess like a lot of people, we think, you know, that stocks are just going to go in one direction. And you buy them at a certain point, and then they go up, and then you make money. And it turns out that that is not always the case. My investment style was, you know, you go to a party, and somebody mentions a specific stock, and then you go home and you buy it. You know, I didn't understand the whole analysis. I didn't understand how analysis worked. You know, what do I want to look at? And even why I had an ETF is because somebody, you know, I had a party at my house. One of the people brought a friend, and the guy had just finished, like, some financial training. And he said, oh, ETFs are great because there's no, you know, commission, blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, okay. And I went and bought some ETFs. So, you know, this is the ones that Vanguard recommended. And that's fine, you know, but the idea that.
Right, now, what's an ETF, if you can just share that?
So ETFs are exchanged. Yeah, they're exchange-traded funds, so it's basically like you could buy, it's going to be like a basket of different kind of funds. So I have, for example, a consumer, like a consumer ETF would have maybe some different retail outlets and some different, you know, maybe they'd have Walmart and Home Depot and, you know, things like that. They would all be, you know, maybe CVS, things that are servicing the consumer market. And you just buy that one basket, you know, it's sort of like a mutual fund, only normally there are a lot less fees than a mutual fund has. So they're not a bad investment, but you're never going to get the advantages that you could get if you find a company that, one specific company or a group of specific companies. And if you get, like, say I just have that consumer ETF and then something happens, like we have a pandemic and all those consumer goods start to tank, that's my whole portfolio. Whereas, you know, one of the things we learn in better investing is there are all these different sectors in the real estate, I mean, all these different sectors in the stock market. And if you share, if you spread your money across these different sectors, you know, one of them is going to be going up while that other one is going down. You're not going to be like, you know, maybe I have Amazon that's going up while, you know, Walmart are not. And probably Walmart's probably not going down right now because they're still open. But, you know, like for example, you know, Kohl's or Marshall's or something like that. So you've got some things that are going up and some that are going down to give yourself a little bit of a protection against that cyclical nature of the market.
Awesome.
It's funny because when I research sectors now, sorry, go ahead, Ann.
Wait, explain what a sector is. No, explain what a sector is, because I really want anybody listening to this, when we use the jargon from what we're learning in better investing. I want to encourage our listeners, again, if you have a question, just press 1, and any question, you know, among us, we have a lot of people listening who may be able to answer that question. But I really want people who may listen to this show in the future to really understand when they leave the show, this is for you. No matter where you are in life, you can invest. So, Chris, you were going to go ahead. You could finish your train of thought, please.
Yep. So the sectors, they've sort of divided up all the different companies that you could potentially buy stock in into some sectors that sort of give you some idea of what they do. So there are, you know, one that they call consumer cyclical. So that would be the sort of place that people buy things not at a steady stream. So maybe a grocery store wouldn't be so cyclical, but maybe a retail shop where you might buy presents, you know, for holidays and stuff, maybe that would be more cyclical. And then there are like industrial things. There are energy, the energy sector, where you might find utilities. Are the utilities a separate sector? I'm trying to think. I think energy is one and utility is a different one. But yeah, so there are 11 different kind of baskets of stock, the way, and that's how they identify them. So technology and like I said, energy and utilities and industrial and those sort of different baskets. And they don't all follow the same path as far as going up and down. So if you are able to diversify across these different sectors, you can have a better chance of having a steady stream of or steady you know, that you're not going to, like, have a crash. If people have, I know some of my friends, when we had the coronavirus hit, they've lost a huge percentage of their portfolio because they were in one specific part of the market. They were in one specific sector, and it didn't weather that well. So,
wow, amazing. And I think that that's one of the beauties, the value of being in an investment club. And can you share with us, because I know you also are an author, and the title of your book is called Empower Your Inner Millionaire, A Woman's Guide to Financial Independence Through Real Estate Investing. And if I recall, you did write this book while you were a part of the investment club. What motivated you to write this?
Well, I had originally just wanted to write a book to share with people some of the different ways to get involved in real estate investing, and just to kind of, it was meant to be a primer, which it really is. You know, it's a sort of a starting with the very basics of, you know, creating a budget and putting your goals down and things like that. But the more research that I did on real estate investing to fill in the gaps of my own knowledge, the more I realized that every book I was reading was written by a man. And it seemed to be written for men as well. And I feel like women are excellent real estate investors. But the challenges that we face might be a little bit different than what a man might face, at least kind of psychologically. Like when I think about, you know, dealing with tenants, you know, I don't want to knock on the door and have some big, huge 6'5" guy opening the door and telling me he's not going to pay his rent. You know, that would be intimidating to me. And the same thing with contractors. You know, there's sometimes it's challenging working with contractors as a woman because they assume you're either going to find a guy who's going to be trying to take care of you because you're a woman, or you find a guy who's going to try to take advantage of you because you're a woman, or talk down to you, or they try to. I actually had a plumber one time like tell me that what I wanted was ridiculous. Like, you can't do that. That's stupid. And I just thought, you know, and I listened to him and did it his way, which why did I do that? You know what I mean? He was wrong. I was right. I should have just fired him on the spot. But you just think, oh gosh, you know what? I guess this, you know, person knows more than I do about this particular thing. You know, it's, I think we sometimes need to be told and empowered to trust ourselves and to find people who will work with us in a respectful fashion and, you know, treat us well, you know, especially in the trades and in that whole, it's kind of a rough, you know, I mean, you know, I don't have to tell you this, you know, it's kind of a rough guy, kind of rough around the edges, kind of an industry. And it can be intimidating, especially if you don't come from that background, if you don't know anything about the trades. I mean, I did have the advantage of my dad being in the trades, so I had some knowledge about how construction worked, I guess. But, you know, let's say that my dad was a banker, you know, and I decide that I'm going to become a real estate investor. I might find the whole process of, you know, I don't know how houses come apart and go back together. So it would be even that much more challenging. So in the book, I tried to really address that, like how do you work with contractors? How do you get people to show up? How do you get them to not take advantage of you and, you know, not take all your money and things like that?
Now let's go to the next step in the journey and if you can share with us any lessons learned or aha moments from your Better Investing journey as an investment club member. And especially as the president of a new club.
Wow, that's a big long answer for all those sort of aspects. One thing I want to say is that, you know, being in an investment club is just such a fantastic way to learn. You know, I went into the club really knowing nothing about. Not really knowing anything about investing. I mean, I've heard of, you know, I had some stocks and I understood, you know, some of the lingo and not even all of the lingo, but I understood a few things. And then the more you get into it, the more you realize that you just didn't have any, I didn't have any idea of how to really make a good, intelligent, well-informed decision about whether or not to buy a stock. And the nice thing about being in an investment club is you're really leveraging all of your knowledge. You know, people, you know, we all are going out and finding a stock to bring back to the club to present. And we all are doing the research. So you're getting, you know, so much more information, so much more knowledge, you know, hearing people ask questions as somebody, you know, if you present a stock and someone challenges you and asks you questions about it, there's just, you learn so much. It's really fantastic. And as I said before, I didn't really understand prior to going on to the Better Investing software. I didn't really understand how you would know, aside from just, you know, reading, you know, Zach's List or whatever, and they tell you that it's a time to buy the stock. I didn't understand how you would know that this is a good time to buy this stock. And what the, you know, like they even tell you what the range is. You should buy it between this number and this number. That's, you know, based on your interpretation of the information that you get, right? So you say, well, where do you think this, what's going to happen in these, in the future and things like that, that requires you to do research. And once you've done that research and you put those numbers in and it magically tells you this is when you should buy it, that was just a huge light bulb for me. I think it helped me because I was the president and I knew I didn't know a thing about investing, as many of us didn't. You know, a lot of us in the club were new to investing, and so I felt a little bit of a responsibility to learn about the software and to learn about the investing, to be at least one page ahead of the rest of the group. So I'm reading ahead, you know, so I'm at least one page ahead so I could be a little bit helpful. You know, I didn't want to just be like, oh, I don't know, you know, teach me about investing. So, and Better Investing was wonderful in that respect, you know, having classes, they've got so many videos, and going to their Better Investing National Convention, I sat for 2 days while they sat and explained the software and how to use it and how to get the numbers that you're going to need to fill in the formulas and stuff, and that was, you know, it's like somebody opened the door to a whole world of information that has been there all along, you know, but I just didn't have any idea how to access it. Fantastic.
And
fantastic
that's,
group.
And Chris, that's exactly, Chris, what we want to share with the public in terms of the fact that Better Investing is here as volunteers. We're not selling anything. And oftentimes people shy away from investment education because they think they're being sold something. So can you share with our listeners how much money does your club invest on a monthly basis, for example?
Well, we each have committed to putting $25 a month into the account. So it ends up...
Wait, excuse me. Did you say
$2,500? $25. And I know there are groups who only put in $10 a month.
Wait. You mean $250? No, I want to make sure the listeners are listening. $25. Is that a day, a week?
Per month.
Yep. Okay, just want to make sure everybody's listening. $25 per month.
Yep. And, you know, the nice thing about this software that we use to actually purchase the stock, which is Folio Investing, is they actually let you buy a rather than saying, I want one share of this stock, you can say, I want to buy $400 worth of that stock. So, for example, let's say today I want to buy Amazon, which is selling for like $2,300. But at any given month, we only have like $425 because there are 13 people in the club. So I might not have, you know, $2,300, and we might decide that we don't want to save up $2,300 for that one stock. But you can just go in and say, okay, I want to buy $400 worth of Amazon, and you just get one little fraction of a share. But not every site, not every way of investing allows you to buy by a dollar amount. And I like that, especially for mine. And I actually have started a portfolio for my nephew. And I like being able to just say, okay, there's $300. I'm going to buy $300 of this stock. And it allows me to be diverse without being, you know, waiting until I have $2,300 to buy Amazon, for example.
Yeah, that's very empowering. And I just want to just encourage all of our listeners, please start right where you are. You can go to betterinvesting.org and, you know, you can get a free trial for the membership. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Ione, if you're still on, and I know Jackie's on, I want to welcome her. But if I'm not mistaken, because it's been a while since we bought a membership, but it's less than $100. Ione, do you recall what the membership is now?
I believe it may be
$60.
I believe it may be $60 or less. And also with Chris's point, Better Investing members get to have a special relationship with Folio Investing where you get, I think, up to 2 trades a month for free. So
right.
they were doing that way before the rest of the industry started cutting their commission costs. So, yep, there are benefits to being a Better Investing member.
Thank you so much. All right, Chris, we're going to prepare to wrap up, but I just want to, you know, your story, we could actually have a show just on the investment club by itself. As a matter of fact, that might not be a bad idea because I think that a lot of people would like to start a club and just don't know how. And I also want to welcome Jackie. I know you're listening, Jackie. If you want to participate or ask a question or comment, just press 1 on your phone. And all of our listeners, if you'd like to participate before we wrap up and make a comment, just please press 1 on your phone to participate. Jackie, your line is open. Thank you so much for calling.
Hey, how, Christine, how are you doing?
Great, Jackie, how are you?
Story. I'm good. I like your reason for writing the book, but I understand that you also have a podcast. Could you just take a minute and tell us about that? Because I think it's great that you kind of extend the brand for people that love to listen versus read.
Oh, sure. Yeah, thanks for asking about that, Jackie. It's called Get Your Fill, Financial Independence and Long Life. And the way that name came about is, you know, the young people have this fire, you know, financial independence, retire early or early retirement, whatever you.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, and I said, well, I'm too old to retire early, so I'm going to go for living a long time instead. So that's how I got the Get Your Fill. So every week, we talk to somebody who is going to talk about one aspect of that, either the financial independence piece or the long life piece. And lately, it's been a lot of folks talking about real estate investing, different aspects of real estate investing. Although last week, I just did a whole thing about COVID-19 and, you know, kind of demystifying and talking about how to stay safe with that, because that's, I think, the long life, and that speaks to the long life piece of it. But and next week on Sunday, so it launches Sunday at midnight every week, and next week it'll be Ione McNeil, so you can hear, we can tune in and listen to her. But yeah,
oh,
it's just
wow,
another.
I will.
Yes, it's going to be awesome.
Well, thank
okay.
you for that. I look forward to listening.
Yeah, you can just go on getyourfillpodcast.com.
Perfect. That's what I was just going to ask, ask you to just repeat it. And thank you, Jackie, for the question, because we want to make sure we promote the show, the podcast, so that people can listen in and we can cross-reference these shows. And they can go back and listen to past shows, and then they can be present to listen to Ione's show. Jackie, thank you so much. And also, please make sure you listen to Jackie's show tomorrow. She's going to be doing a presentation for our North Florida chapter of Better Investing. Jackie, you want to tell people how they can follow you there?
Yeah, sure. We'll be doing a webinar talking about mutual funds in your investment account. So we're going back to the basics, because April is actually Financial Literacy Month. And even though we can't do the in-person meetings or events, we're taking it online and we're doing social distance financial education. And so the title of it, what are these mutual funds in my investment account? Because there's so much mystery and lack of understanding on exactly what that is. You know, people have a 401k or an employer-sponsored plan or 529s where they are given this huge list of funds to choose from, and they have no idea what to choose. So we're going to sort of pull back the curtain on that and just cover that, and when you walk away, you'll have a very good understanding on how to know what these mutual funds are in your investment account.
And Jackie, how can
that
they find
great.
That link to register? How can they find that link to register,
okay.
Jackie? And I want to just let our callers know we're going to get to your question, those who've raised your hands.
Okay,
but
sure.
How can where do they go? Thank you.
Okay, they just need to go to betterinvesting.org and then /OKI and then TRI. And OKI stands for Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana. That's my chapter. And then TRI is like the tri-state area. So it's betterinvesting.org/OKI-TRI. And you can register there. Just look for events.
Is there a charge?
Absolutely
no
not.
Charge.
This is absolutely free. And it will also be recorded. So if you can't make it live, still go ahead and register, and you will get notified once the recording is available.
Okay, thank you. And we'll also encourage everybody to become a member of our Facebook group called Better Investing Southeast Florida Chapter, and we'll put the link there along with Chris's information about her podcast. We'll also put the link there. So thank you so much, Jackie. And we're going to go to our next caller. Caller, the last four digits of your number is 4363. Your line is open. Welcome to the My Investing Story.
Well, good evening, Chris. Thank you very much for sharing your story with me. with us.
Thank you.
I noticed that you had a background in real estate, and now you're developing a background in stock investing. Are there any similarities that you found between investing in real estate and investing in stocks?
You know, that's an excellent question, and thanks for asking that. There are actually a lot of similarities. The biggest one, of course, is the cyclical nature of both types of investment. If you can get a handle, sort of get your arms around the cycle of some of these things, or at least realize that there is a cycle, then you're in a much better position to buy right. You know, that's buying right is half the battle, and that's or a good part of it. If you want to make money in stocks or in real estate, you have to buy at the right time. And there are also the different methodologies that people use. So there are obviously day traders and there are real estate flippers. It's all the same sort of mindset that you're going to buy this thing and you're going to unload it pretty quickly. Whereas in better investing, pretty much in real estate, you know, you also are, I am more in it for the long term. So I'm going to buy this. I'm not just interested in, is this stock going to make money in the next month? I'm interested in, is this a solid company that's going to continue to make money for me over the long term? And that's the same thing with real estate. I'm going to buy this property. I'm not just looking to do a quick flip. I want to know, is this a good neighborhood? Is this a good environment? Is this neighborhood going up or down? Is this, you know, what's happening here? Do the residents care about the community, or are they just sort of letting everything fall apart? It's a lot of the same type of analysis that you do between the two types of investment. So it's, you know, I hadn't actually thought about it before, but since you raised that question, it's an excellent question. And there are, it's a lot of the same analytics and a lot of the same reasons and a lot of the same method mindset. Are you in it for the long term, or are you just doing something really quick and dirty in and out, you know?
Excellent. Thank you very much. That was very informative.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so very much, Dean, for that question. All right, the next caller, the last 4 digits of your number is 3985. Caller, the last 4 digits of your number is 3985. Your microphone is open. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Good evening. Good evening. Hi, Chris. This is Linda.
Hi.
Hey, Linda.
Hey. I'm excited that I had the opportunity to get on tonight. I was very pleased with your story and better investment itself within the relationships that you think between what you have involved from the group that we have in investment. I know that we have learned from each other, but I just want your experience that from the individuals that, considering that we are virtually, give me your opinion of the investment group itself in case I didn't hear it before I connected on.
No, you know, Linda, that's a great point because we didn't even talk about the fact that our club is a virtual club, that we are all over the country. You know, you folks, you know, you're in Atlanta, a lot of the folks are in Florida, I'm in Boston. So we only get to, you know, see each other a couple of times a year. And of course this year, you know, we're missing out on one of our big opportunities because they canceled the investment club conference. And that was a real challenge for me, especially as being president, because, you know, a lot of you guys knew each other already from being in NABLIC, and I just, I didn't know anybody. And so it was tough at the beginning to, like, know who should I call on, you know, like, you don't know people's skill set, you know, when you're trying to delegate things or ask for volunteers for things, and you just don't even know who to tap into because you don't know what people are good at and things like that. And I really felt like, I think everybody else knew at least a few people in the club from, you know, your different meetings and stuff like that, and I was just like, okay, here I am trying to, you know, be the president of a bunch of strangers, you know, people I just, you know, I met Ann a few times and that was it. But it's amazing, especially when we had like our first couple of in-person annual meetings for the club, just the way our bonds have grown, the way the relationships have grown, how we really just look forward to getting together and seeing each other. And I not only that, everyone has really, I mean, coming from a place where so many of us didn't know anything or very much about stocks, how everybody has just really grown together and learned so much. And I love to hear the questions when we make stock presentations and hearing like the very detailed analytical kind of questions that come up from people. I think, wow, you know, they really have researched this industry. They really understand what we're doing. It's been just a wonderful experience.
Thank you. Wow. Well, I tell you, thank you so very much, Linda, and everybody for the questions. We have actually run out of time. What happened to the time, Chris? We're going to have you come back and just purely talk about the investment club. Yes, because as a part of, and I just realized just listening to your story, that as a part of us discussing our investing story, so many of us, our stories relate to clubs in terms of the education. And that's one of the benefits and value of Better Investing as an organization, even though there are lots of individual members who are not in clubs. And so we want to thank you so very much and give you an opportunity to say some last parting words. And we will have to have you back just to talk about the club, because that particular club, like you said, is virtual. We started with 50 and we're down to now 13. And I think that that's a story and by itself and a testament to those who have survived the last 3 years and just hung in here. And so thank you, Linda, for that question, because she and her husband, who Mr. Scales, is now our incoming president, and he's doing a phenomenal job with a phenomenal team of volunteers. And that's a story by itself. Maybe what we should consider doing is having the club on to talk about the investment club. But
that
we'll talk about that as a part of our investment. We'll talk about that as a part of our investing story later. But any closing words, Chris, you'd like to share?
Oh, I just to say thank you so much. I'm, you know, very grateful for you having me on and grateful for the great questions that got called in. And just to encourage everybody that, you know, I did not start my investing journey until I was well past 50. It's not ever too late to learn some things and to create some lasting wealth for yourself. So definitely start where you stand, as they say. Don't be intimidated. You know, when you get involved with Better Investing, you'll be overwhelmed with the generosity of the volunteers.
And what better way to close and share with everybody who's listening that Better Investing has a 90-day free trial offer for your membership. That is a steal, no pun intended. And so please encourage everybody to go to betterinvesting.org, like Jackie said, O-R-G, and please share that good news, pot of gold, with your family and friends. And with that, we want to thank everybody for listening in and joining in to my investing story, and we will see you next time, next week, with our special guest. That's the cliffhanger. You have to join us to hear who it is. So, all right, everybody, have a good evening. Thank you, and good night.
Thanks, Anna.
Bye-bye.